Dan Cook is back at headquarters. Dan used to be part of this extravaganza.
Yes.
Until he ran like a rat, just like Adam Carter.
I like to think of it as I took a step up.
Ran like a rat chasing a light at night. That's how I view it. How many times over the years have you had to call and call and call to try to track down the queen?
Oh, I mean, not only would I have to take my shoes off to count that high, I'd need way more than that.
Yeah. And then if we ever had the temerity to call her late, she'd be very upset.
In fact, I was kind of surprised because I waited right till the end of the news to call her. And usually at that point, she's burning up the line going, why aren't you calling me? Why aren't you calling me?
Yes. Yeah. After she sent us 20 items about herself to discuss that particular day. All right. You let me know when Shaletta buzzes in.
Yeah. I tried her a couple of times and it's going right to voicemail. So
got it.
Yeah.
So she's in Rochester and I'm assuming she's a part of this event with RFK Jr. Now, with Shaletta and RFK Jr., I'm thinking there's no chance. With Shaletta and RFK Jr. and autism, I'm thinking there's no chance. However, part of what's taking place down there is Health and Human Services, which RFK Jr. is in charge of, the Department of Justice and FEMA have announced the launch of the National Autism Missing and Endangered Person Alert Initiative. This is the first program of its kind in the country, and I think Shaletta is now with us. Shaletta, is that why you were down in Rochester today for this program involving the National Autism Missing and Endangered Person Alert Initiative? Am I right on that?
Yes, you are, sir. I had a whole thing set up yesterday. I had meetings. I had my business to run. I've got kids to take care of. School is not in. But someone called me and told me about this event, and I canceled everything on my calendar today so that I could go to Rochester. I'm still here because the news conference just wrapped up with HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy, some people from DOJ, a guy from FEMA, and they have an autism council. And, you know, this is something that I've been advocating for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have.
I have been advocating for this for 10 years because what happens, especially with teens, when they have autism and they wander, you know, 911 dispatchers, they do a great job. Police, they do a great job. But, you know, they just aren't as responsive as they need to be, and only because they haven't been trained. So they were talking about training and devices and getting everyone on one accord so that they can help decrease these numbers. And they had some stats that I had never heard of. 8 children with autism per month in this country wander away and die per month.
Yeah.
I'd never heard that before.
That is sad. And we need to, obviously there's accountability with those in the home, 100%. But when we have resources available, and part of what the secretary said is a lot of this will build on the alert capabilities that are already available. And part of his point is trying to get that critical information to authorities and the public as quickly as possible. And we'll say this again, because with RFK Jr. and autism, I have called them out. You've called them out repeatedly on using scientific data that has not been proven or has been disproven on a regular basis to try to link autism to fill in the blank, fill in the blank, fill in the blank. And almost every time his information is erroneous and can be challenged by scientific data. However, and a big however, if he wants to be a part of this, and clearly he must want to be part of it. If he's in Rochester, he didn't send one of his lackeys, he's there to try to help out families and lost autistic children. Then I say we can have our differences, but bravo, and thank you very much for helping.
You know what? A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
You know, so this time, you know, with that being said, with everything he's done and said that is wrong, that is misinformation, his stance on some of the vaccines and anything else that he said that was kind of kooky. Today, and here's the thing, Chad, I didn't know what to expect. you know, I came and I didn't know if I was going to need a fight or flight response, because I didn't know if he was going to start talking the talk that he's been talking, or start talking about databases or trials or whatever. And then he got in there, he started making sense. I said, okay, he took his medicine. Because he started talking about it working from the bottom up. He applauded the Olmsted County Sheriff's Office and the police officers in Rochester. The program that they are using and implementing here has saved almost 10 children's lives because of the way that they have trained their team, from the dispatchers to the police officers to the investigators. Everybody is trained the same way. And everybody is on one accord. And so they are looking at Rochester and Olmsted County as the model to use for the rest of the country. So I like the fact that they are going from the bottom up. They're taking Rochester as the example. They're learning from them. And then they are also listening to autism parents. This was not a news conference where it was just a bunch of media. There were as many autism parents in the room as there were media members. And so they were talking to them. They were listening. They were taking notes. They had a closed-door session. And so it's really going to be, if it goes the way that it's written on paper, it is going to really be comprehensive, and it is going to really make a difference. And Chad, honestly, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to save lives.
That's it. And I want to respond in two ways. You know, two of us are also, I mean, for me, it's a little bit more because of the show, but for you, you're the same with President Trump. But when I can find ways, including the border and other ways, where I feel like the president has made steps forward, where he has improved the country, I will absolutely acknowledge that. Now, is he my guy? Do I think he's qualified to be president? I don't. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be oblivious to where he's had success. And it's the same thing here with RFK Jr. And you talked about Rochester. Let me just back it up with some of the data here. They're talking about these devices that some of the kids were more prone for their intellectual challenges to wander off, that they're going to wear this on a wrist or an ankle. And in Olmsted County, they have achieved, wait for it, 100% success rate in finding these kids. I mean, think about it. How many times have you literally spent your own money and traveled the country for the locks on the doors because of kids who wander off and they end up in water, they're not found, they're lost by the time they're found, their lives have ended. You have put your neck and your wallet on the line on that on a regular basis. And bravo to Olmsted County. And just to add to it, the officers, about a month and a half in, will go back to a home where I have an autistic son, you have three autistic children, where many, maybe all of our kids or one of our kids has that. And they will replace the batteries. So this isn't just a one-time situation. Okay, nice to meet you, Shaletta. See you later. Olmsted County, the Sheriff's Office, the Rochester Police Department, thank you so much for staying involved.
And that is why they are the model. That is why he flew here. You know, and that's what the question everybody had sitting in the room. It was like, why are we in Rochester? Why is he not in the Twin Cities? You know, the cynic in me is like, oh, he didn't want the protesters. No, he's out here because he's learning. They're taking notes. He's got the A-team here because they need to figure out what they're doing so that they could implement it across the country. And there have been too many times, Chad, especially with this administration, that they have things that they implement that are detrimental to Americans. And we've seen it play out time and time again. But this is the one time I have to say that if it goes the way that it is going in Olmsted County and they use those officers in Rochester to train officers, dispatchers, and sheriff's deputies across the country on how to use this, Chad, we're talking about thousands of lives are going to be saved because of this. And the good thing is that they have the infrastructure from the Amber Alert to roll it out. They don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? They've already got, you know, something similar with the Amber Alert system. And so it's a complement to that. And you know, my question was training. How long is it going to take? They talked about, they talked about the online training. They talked about, you know, the in-person training. They talked about how to interact with families and how to train dispatchers. And so it's going to be a comprehensive program. And a lot of that is going to boil down to training and care. You know, you got to care about the people you serve in this community if you're going to be answering that 911 call or if you're going to be riding around with a badge on your chest.
I'm going to let you go because I know you're still busy down there, and I'm so glad you were able to make it down there and provide this information. And as you just said, bravo again to Rochester Police and Homestead Sheriffs. Let's continue to see this spread across the country. Use the networking that is available and help out some of these children or young adults who are vulnerable and try to prevent a very, very sad story from taking place. Enjoy the rest of your day. Keep us informed, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Love y'all.
Shaletta with us. We get texts, and I appreciate the texts, and I comment on your texts. So you get to comment on what you like about what I say, what you don't like about what I say. And we can have a back and forth. And I'm just going to say the timing of this text is rather bizarre to me. We are talking about children who are autistic, who clearly have this at a pretty significant level. If they are wandering off and the numbers who are dying, okay, and a texter then decides during this segment to say, I feel autism has been overdiagnosed lately. Okay, if we want to have, Brad, the broader conversation on why autism numbers have jumped, maybe you even believe some of what RFK Jr. has offered up. I don't believe literally a single word, and the data proves him wrong on a regular basis, but you're entitled to 100% disagree with me and agree with him. But we're talking about kids and trying to prevent these kids and young adults from dying. And you're listening to this segment and you decide to send a text saying, I think autism has been overdiagnosed. Well, we're talking about saving individuals' lives.
Well,
honestly, could you be more tone deaf, Texer?
You have a son with autism. Shaletta has how many kids with autism?
Three.
I have a son with autism.
Yep.
So you may think that that's just the evolution of medicine and science and, you know,
diagnosis.
Yes.
And where we were.
Because I can, you know, when we were growing up, and I don't want to, you know, make flippant comments about this, but you remember when we were growing up, there were always what we thought were kids, but kids a little different. That kid's a little this or a little that. So, but they didn't get the kind of care.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have my wife who literally, so our first boy, he was talkative coming out of the womb, it seemed like.
Well, can't imagine where that came from.
Yeah. True, though, our youngest, Truman, we call him True. He was, you know, non-talkative, you know, for a long time, and but he was happy. So it wasn't like he was crying. We could sit him somewhere, and he'd just sit there and enjoy it. And up until two, we were like, wait a minute. There's something wrong here. Mm-hmm. So overdiagnosed my bleep, you know. I mean, all of a sudden, we had people, and we were fortunate that in Minnetonka, they have such great resources. They came in, and they said, look, you might have, you know, autism or on the spectrum, and they call it that for a reason. There are some kids who, I mean, they literally, you know, their physical, it affects their physical abilities.
We see it all the time.
I have a high functioning autistic kid where socially he's got a little, you know, and cognitively, but I guarantee you there's no fallacy to this. It's real. And the fact that we've been able to evolve to this level, that's not over diagnosis. That's proper diagnosis.
Exactly. And then while listening to this about saving lives and decide this is the time to send the text, show some compassion, individual. Texter, another texter says this, This system should be expanded to vulnerable adults and seniors as well. How many times have we heard of individuals disappearing? Agree 100%. We have these conversations all the time on our show about what is happening with individuals as they age. Let's hope, if you're listening right now, that you live till 115 and you are running races until 110 and you are razor sharp and your health is impeccable. But too often that we could take calls from now until we start the show on Monday of families whose lives have been filled with sorrow, sadness, cruelty, and loss of money because what's happened to a grandparent, to a mother, a father, a brother when they're taking care. And sometimes some of these folks will not go somewhere in particular and they want to remain at their house and they shouldn't, but it's such a difficult situation and somebody wanders off and it turns out horrifically. So I think the texter makes a very good point. Want to keep texting? You certainly can. 651-461-9226. So let's switch over to mental health concerns and major cities and the use of police. Dina Winter, who was on with Adam on this same topic, you can listen to what Dina had to say, podcast, The Adam and Jordana Show. I mean, listen to this show first, of course, but then no, check out Adam and Jordana, because the use of specifically trained individuals for mental health when, and some of the police officers might be fantastic at this. Others, they're not trained enough. This isn't their area of expertise. It is complex. It is difficult. You don't know precisely what you're walking into. And obviously in the city of Minneapolis, as we've discussed hundreds of times, they're short on police officers. So the city has started using other response teams. And this program, when it started 4 years ago, was at about 2.5 million the first year. Now, through the last 5 years, the city has spent, wait for it, $25 million. But the problem is, Dina Winter points out, excuse me, I had a little dessert during the break, and I think it's kicking back up at me. But, oh, by the way, it was worth it because the Deacon's Lodge food is bringing it today. They've been working with this for-profit company. Let me emphasize. For-profit company, Canopy Roots. Canopy Roots. But guess what? Their follow-up and what's going on in the oversight hasn't been close to it. The company's issued billing and invoices when reviewed by the Tribune. Excuse me, this company, Canopy Roots, did not routinely include documentation, itemized receipts, payroll records. The city assistant, city attorney, almost 2 years ago said we need more details on invoices. The company at one point was charging an average of $70 an hour per staffing. The next month, it's $25. Then they're asking to be reimbursed for things such as sunscreen, menstrual supplies, vacuum accessories. And oh, by the way, noting the city doesn't supply those items to its own employees. Listen, I am all for Minneapolis, St. Paul, even smaller cities, Brad, when it's within their bandwidth of finances to try this. But these companies have to be accountable. And by the way, are when they want to be reimbursed, they're giving this to the folks facing mental health, the sunscreen, the menstrual supplies, the vacuum accessories. Is that something that was agreed to? Because I get with mental health, sometimes people are so overwhelmed by circumstances, that if you give them some necessities, that brings some normalcy. But if the city is going to see this, where it goes from $2.5 million to $25 million total, that's in 5 years.
Big number.
Right? And here's another part of it. It's unclear what metrics the city has been gauging for success besides diverting. Now, wait for this. An average of 10,000 calls per year from the police. Taking away 10,000 calls from police. That's remarkable. So if they want to show why this is worth it, fine. But the follow-up has not been very good at all. That the city cannot keep working with this company unless they're going to show what they're doing, why they're doing it, and why they are still the most cost and efficient of the other companies that were trying to buy.
So we're not debating or discussing whether this is a good idea.
No, I'm not. No.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
Because there are far too many instances where you send in the police and a sledgehammer when a scalpel would do in an instance where you might
and
have
a domestic.
And it
can turn out horribly.
Absolutely. Well,
yeah.
We how many times have you heard, it, you know, there's been either an incident at a domestic or something like that where the police were sent in where something else could have worked, right? So that part, they should definitely keep looking at that. I'm not sure who to blame here the most because you have to be accountable for the expenses that you're putting in for.
Mm-hmm.
When you go from, what was it, 2.5 to 25 million.
Yeah.
And then you show, or at least it shows, some of these expenses, which all of a sudden leads to that F word, fraud,
mm-hmm.
whether it is or not.
Yeah.
Everybody now is on edge about misuse of government dollars for things that we don't need. So everybody's going to be not just skeptical, but cynical about something like this. They have to be above board in terms of notating what their expenses were for. So I first of all, I blame the company for not doing that and saying, look, we needed to purchase this for this instance. You have to be so descriptive and specific about that. But the city also needs to, there might be other companies that can do this in a more efficient way.
Let me just jump in another part of Dina Winter's story. Star Tribune, worth your time. Multiple council members, when Barnett was still vying for the position. And I'll say this again. I don't understand why Todrick Barnett has been as unwilling to publicly talk about his job as he has been. Because we have tried to get him on a number of times. And I know other shows on this station have tried to get on.
Well, especially when it came after the previous person who was all too willing to be out front.
Yeah, right. And we saw how effective that was. And even just the other day when you had the Jamal Osmond, Todrick Barnett back and forth on Brian O'Hara, his job being on the committee to replace Brian O'Hara, and Todrick Barnett gave some brief quotes to the Star Tribune, and we thought, okay, let's get him on. And at first the response was, okay, we'll make this work. And then the response back was, we'll stand by the quotes. So going back to this story, you had two city council members emailing and another one in the council member president chastising him for being unresponsive on requests for standard information. And God knows I haven't exactly rallied to the defense of the DSA city council members, but when you had the giant increases in police money in overtime, and some of it absolutely was unavoidable because of the catastrophe that was Operation Metro Surge. Some of it raised questions on how long people need to be on standby. So if Todrick Barnett, who is, in my opinion, has a great deal of credibility, and there are top-flight attorneys in this town who I know well who glow about him, you got to stand. I mean, you're a judge every single day. And where were you on the police overtime? Where were you on this story? And then when you want to try to defend your position, explain yourself, you don't make yourself available. Come on.
That position makes more than the mayor.
Yes. It's $400,000, right?
There's accountability there.
Yes.
And there was none.
Unavailable. And I get formally as a judge, you're in a different position. We can't just call judge after judge and get them to talk. I understand that. In this position, with what's happened in this city and that pay, I think the council members are fair to ask questions, and the public should want to hear from them. This is about when I take a break for Am I Wrong with Dave Harrigan, so I could not change. I mean,
you wanted to filibuster as long as
I could have ended that story like 3 minutes ago. But if Harrigan, I was probably listening right now, if I would have went to break at 2:28, he might have driven up here to Brainerd and taken the air out of my tires. So here comes Brad Lane. I mean, the bar is not high to top Harrigan, and Am I Wrong? Let's be honest. Come on. Brad Lane's version of Am I Wrong. Next. Pot that down. Pot that down. He's not here. Get out of here. He deserves no credit. It's Am I Wrong with Brad Lane. Go ahead. Let's go.
You ready? School started this week in some places. I think Stillwater started. It's way too early, by the way.
I was just going to say, is that or am I wrong? Because the answer
nope.
is yes.
Nope.
I have kids should not be in school August 17th.
They shouldn't be in school before Labor Day. But I digress. I have a senior at Minnetonka High School, and my take here has nothing to do with my inability to do or learn this new math that they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I say this. We end homework, period. It's stupid. We don't have to do it at our jobs. You don't have to do it later in life. Get what you need done in the classroom. Don't send them out. 9 times out of 10, they just talk in the classroom, and then they send them off to either read 72 pages or fill out some kind of forms. I say we end homework. If you teachers can't get it done in the classroom, why make them do it at home later in the day?
Am I wrong?
Yes, you're wrong. I still believe that the kaleidoscope of accountability includes, okay, we're going back in this history class, and I need you at home to read these two chapters to be up to speed when we talk about it. Or we've been reviewing this aspect of algebra, and you're going to need to study pages 100 to 110 at home tonight, because guess what? You're going to be tested on.
I'm okay with the tests. Then you're on your own for work. It's just
but
like
you have to study at home to be prepared for the test, right?
If I say we have a test, then I'm not assigning homework. I'm just saying we have a test on Tuesday over what we have discussed in the classroom. Then it's up to you to read more about it. I'm talking literally about whether it's papers or filling out forms or all of these different things. I think homework is a sham.
Yeah, but, I mean, isn't that still a part of judging if your kid, my kid, everybody's listening, if their children are understanding what is taking place, if they're called on the test results, and if they're not also doing the work at home. Let's be honest. When a kid is in class, and let's say you're the teacher, and they're following what you're saying, and they're taking notes, it's going to take a little more follow-up at times to stay with it or be prepared for the next chapter.
But I think you can assess that by how much interactivity they have in the classroom and what they
do on the
test.
30 kids in class, right? I mean, you can't interact with every kid.
Maybe.
I mean, do you want to hand out a trophy to every kid? Is that what you're saying?
Speaking of education, we brought this up a little bit earlier. You had brought up the prediction market, which this is not.
Okay.
Sports gambling. It's time. Legalize it now with all the proceeds going to education.
Am I wrong?
Okay, what's your age cutoff for gambling?
18.
18. Okay, because we have that weird dynamic of, are you an adult at 18? Mm-hmm. Are you an adult at 21? So in Brad Lane's world, 18, you can gamble, but you can't drink until you're 21.
Correct.
A separate am I wrong should be, can we come up with one age where all this happens? If it's 18, it's 18. If it's 21...
If we're being honest with ourselves, no, because everybody matures differently. So they're trying to come up with litmus tests for who can drink at 21 and who can drive at 16.
Yeah, that would be an interesting way. We would need to increase the size of our governments by infinity percent, But instead of, okay, you're 16, so you magically can take the test, we have to judge you in your maturity level.
Here's the thing. Schools are closing. You're hearing about referenda all over the place. Hell, your old school, your old high school, one of those two in Robbinsdale may have to close. I'm saying in every
$20 million county,
every community has a shortfall, and then they have to make these hard decisions. Let's come up with it. I mean, put the two together. Sports gambling, it's well past time to do it. Let's make this available, and let's let, if not all, most of the revenue go to education.
Okay, we alluded to this before. I have been fairly pro-sports gambling for an extended period of time. I think you're going to also have to allot some amount of money to some form of Gamblers Anonymous to help individuals who, when it's now more available, will become addicted, because we can't dismiss that possibility. If Harrigan was here, and I think Carter's fall in line with this too, you have a lot of people in their category feel like it's too easy now, that it's so available on your phone during the game, that it's feeding those endorphins so much that it was at a different level when you'd go to a casino or when you'd go to somewhere. Are you worried that we're just putting this phone into 18-year-old kids when their brain is not fully formed, and it's going to lead to a dramatic increase in gambling problems for younger adults?
It's already there. I have Underdog on my phone. I can bet on games now. So my kid was doing it when he was 19 and showing me these apps. So this is putting the toothpaste back in the tube to a large extent on that front. I get it from a standpoint of addiction, but this is already out there. They're going to find it one way or another.
I was just playing the devil's advocate because I agree. Now, I'm not sure it's all the education, because we can come up with so many ways, but I'm not going to argue against we are woefully low on education funding. Let's pause here. More of Am I Wrong in a matter of moments. Maybe this is the afternoon when you hear me talk about my friend Amber Scholl. Okay? And you think, okay, I've heard that guy talk about Amber Scholl. I know quite a few WCCO listeners have switched over. Why shouldn't I at least make this effort? Amber Scholl is running an office located here in town. This office has been around for decades and decades and decades. I knew of it when I moved back in the 90s because my father had been a part of it. For me, most of the time, if my father was involved in something business-wise, I ran. We did the opposite. But in this case, whether it was the individuals running the 90s, Lyndon who ran it for a long time, or Ambrose been running it now for 3 years, just outstanding. It's Scholl and Associates. Now, online, you track it down, teamscholl.com. The spelling is S-C-H-O-L-L.com. I almost screwed it up there. I've said it eight.
I should tell you what it is because you convinced me.
Yeah.
I got my car and home covered by Amber Scholl.
I've only said it 80,000 times. I screwed up. Why not work with American Family so you get the power, the gravitas, the leverage, and then have a local office like Amber Scholl? Do it today, teamscholl.com. All right, we continue with Am I Wrong? We're here at Deacon's Lodge, this fabulous golf course. We want to, again, thank the folks from Breezy Point. So kind of them to invite us up here. Everybody from the staff at Breezy Point and over here at Deacon's Lodge, they have been great. The food has been tremendous. I think I broke my jaw, but that's another separate story. So thanks again.
She had to elbow you out of the way, dude.
I mean, she had to go. So thanks again to the fine, fine folks at Breezy Point, Deacon's Lodge. We'll come up here anytime you're kind enough to invite us. We continue with Am I Wrong? Is the shock jock, is he in the studio in the cities?
He's in the studio. He's just not right next to a microphone right at the moment.
He's setting up. He's setting up the cameras.
Lot of stuff involved. It's not complicated.
A lot of stuff to do.
Yeah. Right.
Very technical.
All right, go ahead, Brad.
Eliminate the doorbell. We don't need it. First of all, it just makes my dog go nuts. But I know who's coming over now. We have cell phones. They tell us when they're coming
Eliminate
over.
Eliminate the
Those
doorbell.
Are the people that I know are coming over. If I've got neighbors, Eliminate the doorbell. It's usually rung by people I don't want to hear from anyway. Get rid of it.
Am I wrong?
Are you Howard Hughes? I mean, are you just, are your fingernails growing long? You don't bathe. You sit in the place all by yourself. What if...
Who's ringing the doorbell anymore?
What if I surprise you, get by
you
the
would,
moat,
no.
get by the security, don't get shot, and... I mean, your place is about 14,000 square feet. God knows where you are. I can't just knock on the door. I ring the doorbell because, oh, no, that doorbell throws you off so much.
Well, at that point, you would knock, but no doorbell.
I mean, the doorbell.
Eliminate the doorbell.
We don't need it.
What
public good comes from eliminating the doorbell? Like, what is the inconvenience?
I'm not talking about a public good. I'm talking about my good.
So, is it just because you can't control your dog? Are you another dog hater on this station?
No, I love my dog. I don't want her to go nuts.
Terrible training. Sounds like a failure as an owner is what I hear.
What kind of doorbell do you have? Is it gunfire?
Does it play like, is it like a car that... the horn plays La Cucaracha.
It is like a car horn. She would go nuts, by the way, when the FedEx truck goes by.
Okay, so, you have a terrible dog. Okay, let's just, am I wrong?
You're wrong.
I mean.
Am I wrong?
Exactly. Do you have a ring?
You have like a ring camera, that sort of a thing?
No, I don't.
Oh, so you have nothing?
No, just the doorbell. Eliminate the doorbell. Okay. I don't need it.
All right.
Okay. Do you interact with your neighbors at all?
Yes.
Well, how do you know they're coming over?
They text me and say, I'm coming over. I'm bringing this. We all have each other's numbers.
Nobody just comes over? I mean, my sister-in-law lives a block away, and her kids, like, sometimes come over. They ring the bell. It's fine.
No.
Had some high school football players ringing the doorbell the other night.
Do you know how many
selling
other
their coupons? The big, you know, the coupons
I had here.
By the way, I loved how you turned yourself into like an American hero because you bought one of those coupons too. I mean, honestly,
I got to be honest. No one is more locked into my social media than Chad Harpin. Well, unbelievable. Just farming for topics, I guess. You're out of gas?
Send those
you
guys
just
over
need
to
his
house.
What am I talking about?
I could have went with that or else eliminate the doorbell.
Send those guys over to his house and have them ring the doorbell.
You're welcome.
All right, we got to go.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. What a boondoggle this is.
Yeah. Jeez, I wonder what I'm going to do later in the day. I don't know. What could I do?
Client development, perhaps.
Thank you.